Today on the podcast, I bring you the conversation I had with Wes Carter. Wes is the president at Atlantic Packaging, and he has recently teamed up with Peter King and the global surfing community to create a new project called a New Earth Project. And their main goal is to bring awareness to sustainability and packaging with the hopes and the mission to rid the oceans of plastic pollution. And it's a perfect match when you take Wes and his background with packaging and the supply chain, and then team up with the global surfing community about plastic pollution in the ocean. And they have teamed up to create a documentary series to hopefully bring awareness to this issue and problem that's only growing, to hopefully, you know, do their part and influence some of us to do our part to help rid the oceans of plastic pollution. So it's a really impactful conversation, and I really enjoyed it. And if you enjoy it, please share it with your friends and family. Give us a nice 5-star rating on Apple Podcast. Before getting into the conversation, let's talk about Engineered Sleep. Engineered Sleep is a mattress manufacturer based out of Greenville, South Carolina, with their main purpose and goal to working with the individual to find the best mattress that fits them. Sleep is so important. I can't say it enough, but sleep really is the most important thing we all do on a daily basis when it comes to affecting our performance on a daily level. So if you're sleeping on the wrong mattress, that's where it's going to start. So reach out to the team at Engineered Sleep. You can go to their website at engineeredsleep.com or reach out to them in person. Go to their showroom in Greenville, South Carolina. Mention the podcast or use promo code LIVE10. You'll get 10% off your order. So reach out to the team at Engineered Sleep. Get yourself a new mattress, and most importantly, start sleeping better and start performing better. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Wes Carter. Welcome to Live Life in Motion, where the goal is to bring you conversations that give you the power of education so you can use those tools to optimize your life on a personal and professional level to better yourself, your community, and those around you. Wes, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm pumped about this conversation. It's the first time I've had this sort of conversation on the podcast, and I think it's a great what you're doing. I'm excited to dive into it. So thank you for coming.
Yeah, man, I'm thrilled to be here. I'm excited to talk about the project and talk to your audience about all things sustainability.
That's right. And I mean, so let's obviously get right into it and give a brief overview of what is the New Earth Project.
Sure. Well, it probably makes some sense to give a quick overview of Atlantic Packaging first, which is the company that I'm the president of, that my grandfather actually started 75 years ago. And my father has run since the early 70s. And we're the largest privately held packaging company in North America now. And we're really, really diversified. I mean, we've been in business so long, we just do a lot of different things in packaging. But we also operate in a lot of different verticals. So everything from food and beverage to medical device to garment manufacturing to electronics to automotive to building products. And then we've got a really growing packaging program in the e-commerce sector, which has obviously exploded over the last several years. So we've got a pretty unique view of the supply chain because we operate in so many different areas of it. And I've been with Atlantic. I'm 43, and I've been with Atlantic for about the last 20 plus years, and I've been the president for the last 7. And you know, we really built our reputation in the marketplace with mainly large consumer products companies. I mean, big companies, folks like Procter & Gamble and Conagra Foods and Coca-Cola and Anheuser-Busch. I mean, big organizations. And our real value proposition over the years has been packaging optimization. So, you know, really highly consultative, where we go in and teach these companies how to use the least amount of packaging possible, and really help them with damage and shipping and things like that. So for me, one of the big light bulb moments was, you know, sustainable packaging has been something that's been talked about in our industry for a long time, but it was always sort of a, you know, an add-on, you know, oh yeah, well, it's great if it can be sustainable too. But what I really saw was the first rule of sustainability always should be to use less. You know, use less. You know, if you use less packaging, you keep that packaging out of the supply chain and out of the waste stream. And I'm like, you know, we do that really, really well. And, you know, what I saw was a lot of packaging products sold by us and a lot of other people were really environmentally problematic.
There's so much packaging going into whatever's getting shipped around the world. And just think about it, that's wasteful. It's kind of crazy to wrap your head around.
It really is. I mean, what people don't realize, packaging is one of the largest industries in the world. I mean, everything that's anything is packaged. And so as a lifelong surfer, I grew up in Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina. I'm an offshore fisherman. My grandfather actually wrote a lot of books about the outdoors. I mean, my dad was a big hunter and fisherman. So I just grew up, you know, with the outdoors being a big part of my life, and it still is today. And, you know, in my spare time, I like to travel to surf. So I've traveled all over the world. I've traveled to Indonesia and Costa Rica and Nicaragua, Dominican Republic. You know, I just got back from Africa recently, and I was just seeing plastic pollution everywhere, you know, and it was getting worse. I mean, I've been traveling to surf at least since I was 18 or 19 years old, and the problem is getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And, you know, the real light bulb moment for me was, hey, I'm working for a company. I'm running a company that has a seat at the table with all these large consumer products companies. And we already do part of sustainability really well. And if we really embrace sustainability as the ethos of this company and dedicate all of our time and energy to transforming who we are and support these consumer products companies as they transition to a more sustainable future, we might actually be able to have an impact. So that was the first real light bulb moment for me. And then a New Earth project, really, the way that started was I was introduced to Peter King, who is a documentarian and surfing photography. He was actually the first person Bob Hurley ever signed as a professional surfer back when Peter was 17. He's now in his early 50s. And Peter wanted to do a documentary on the history of surfing and where surfing needed to go. And he was looking for a partner. And we got introduced because somebody said, hey, I think a good partner for you might be Wes Carter with Atlantic. And so we had a conversation on the 26th of December last year and just came up with this idea that what if we use the professional surfing community as these ambassadors of the ocean and allow their voices to be heard through the supply chain for the companies that were actually creating a lot of these issues. And Atlantic could sort of be the conduit. And we were like, we could do this in a documentary series. And it was a crazy enough idea that it sounded like, you know, something that would be fun to do. And so, yeah, that's a long answer to your question, but that's kind of how it started. And it's really been fun. I mean, we're trying to really brand sustainable packaging as cool and exciting. And there's nothing cooler than professional surfers charging, you know, 30-foot faces at Pipeline.
So. You're darn right. I was watching some of your videos with Kelly Slater this morning. But
yeah.
What are some of your challenges? Like, what are the challenges you are facing? I mean, just in Atlantic Packaging, trying to switch over to sustainable packaging, I feel like that's a massive challenge.
I think historically, one of the big challenges has been understanding, education. Like, you know, there's no playbook for what is sustainable and what isn't. And every product has a trade-off, you know, and so, you know, the real initial challenge for us was doing a lot of deep research and sense making on, you know, what do we believe to be sustainable? And I thought one of the advantages that Atlantic really had that a lot of other companies didn't is because we're sort of in the middle of the supply chain where we buy a lot of packaging for the companies that make packaging. And then we're sort of this consulting company in the middle and we're selling to the people utilizing the packaging. Based on that structure, we had the ability to be really impartial. You know, I wasn't handcuffed to any certain technology because I made it. By design, I've got the ability to be flexible. So I really had to spend a tremendous amount of time with my leadership really deciding, you know, what do we believe to be the most sustainable products and why? And then, you know, one of the areas, ocean plastic in particular is something that really bothered me. Mm-hmm. And I have felt like that in most of those applications, there is a fiber-based option that is better. So fiber being primarily paper. Mm-hmm. We recycle paper really well in this country. We don't recycle plastic very well at the curbside. you know, paper products, if they end up in the ocean or in the rivers, in 8 to 10 weeks, they're gone. Plastic, 400 years. So then it was like, once we started to figure out some of like what products we wanted to represent and why, then the big challenge has been, in some cases, it's cost. I mean, sometimes sustainability just costs more. Mm-hmm. And convincing, you know, large consumer products companies that this is an investment that they should make has been a challenge at times. But I will say that's changing a lot. More and more, because of e-commerce, packaging speaks to who that brand is. Mm-hmm. More and more consumers, when they open a box on their front porch, they are looking not only at the product, but they're also looking at the packaging to symbolize what does this company represent, you know, and more consumers are really focused on sustainability. And, you know, most people don't want a ton of plastic shipped to their house anymore. And yeah. So consumer demand more than anything else has been the biggest challenge, is that it hasn't been there, but that's really shifting. And I've seen massive amounts of progress and momentum over, honestly, just in the last 6 or 8 months, mm-hmm. in that arena.
How bad of a problem is ocean plastics?
It's a really big problem, and it's a lot bigger than people really understand. And I'll throw a few stats at you. Mm-hmm. Right now, globally, humans put 10 million tons of plastic in the ocean every year, 10 million tons every single year. While that's staggering, you know, the statistics show us that at the rate that we are going by the year 2040, so just 18 years from right now, that number will be 29 million tons. So if we keep going just like we're going today, the amount of plastic going in the ocean is going to triple in the next 18 years. You know, that is very, very, very significant. And I think it's important to realize too, I mean, I'm 43 years old, you know, a lot of people listening to this podcast are probably, you know, in their, you know, middle-aged years. We have lived with plastic. I mean, I don't ever remember a world without it, mm-hmm. but if you really look back, plastic is pretty new. I mean, you know, 60s, you know, maybe the 50s, 60s, 70s, but the proliferation of plastic, especially single-use plastic, that phenomenon is not but like 40 or 50 years old. So the idea that, oh, it's always been this way, no, it hasn't. I mean, this problem is new, mm-hmm. and it is starting to show up. And, it, you know, if you go to places that don't have good waste infrastructure, like Southeast Asia, it's overwhelming. And my concern is, while that is heartbreaking in and of itself, even in first world countries like the United States, if we just ignore this problem, you're going to wake up in 8 or 10 years and it's going to be all over Wrightsville Beach. It's going to be all over Folly Beach and South Beach. It's going to be everywhere because the volume is just out of control. And it's not enough just to say, we're going to do beach sweeps. We're going to pick up. You can't produce plastics and unsustainable packaging at the rate that we're doing it without the proper waste infrastructure and solve this problem. We have to transition away from a lot of these problematic problems, and we have to have cleanup efforts as well. It has to be both.
On the consumer side of things, say I get something from you or a packaging company, and I don't know if it's sustainable or not, and I don't even know what to do with it. I might just throw it in the trash. What can we do as a consumer to better understand how to properly recycle?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the most important thing consumers can do is educate yourself on what your local municipality can take from a recycling perspective. That's the biggest thing. And, you know, it does differ, unfortunately, from municipality to municipality. It's one of my big hangups, is that the recycling infrastructure in this country is so convoluted. Mm-hmm. You know, like one municipality can recycle a lot of stuff and another one can't recycle anything at all. And it's one of the things I think we really need the federal government and the state and local governments to show a lot more leadership in. I mean, waste collection to me should be one of the top priorities for every politician in the country, and how we better handle waste. But aside from that, yes, I mean, for the most part, in this country, we recycle paper really well. So corrugated boxes, the volume of corrugated boxes is so large, and the demand for recycled corrugated is so large that we do that pretty well. So,
what is corrugated boxes?
Just a cardboard box. Yeah. The cardboard box that comes to your house from Amazon, that's highly recyclable. And any of the paper that would be coming with it, like crumpled up craft paper inside, all that's very recyclable. Paper-based mailers are all very recyclable. So Those things should all go in your blue bin. But again, you can go on to howtorecycle.com, and there's other websites as well that you can learn more about what you can do locally. But for the most part, you know, when it comes to stuff that ends up at your house, paper is almost always better than plastic.
Yeah. What are some of the long-term effects if we do not get better at this?
You know, I think the long-term effects are pretty dire. You know, I think, you know, obviously climate change and global warming is another topic that is not disconnected from pollution. They're certainly interconnected. And I think we're already seeing the impacts of climate change all around us. So that is another part of what I think the packaging industry, really the entire supply chain that includes the consumer products companies, we really, really have to make big commitments to. And Atlantic is doing just that. Mm-hmm. Things like committing to carbon neutrality, and not by 2050, by 2030. And we're making massive investments. I mean, we're by the end of 2023, half of my electricity will come from renewables. And that's a huge investment for me, but I think it's the right thing to do. So, you know, climate change aside and the potential there, the pollution piece, I mean, look, you know, all you got to do is, I mean, I live in Charleston, South Carolina. If you drive downtown and look in the estuaries and the marshes around Charleston, talk to the people at Charleston Waterkeeper, there is plastic in the marsh everywhere. It's not on the beach. It's getting filtered out in the estuaries. And that's with 10 million tons going in the oceans every year. Take that number to 30, triple that number. We do nothing and the beaches are going to be littered with plastic. Mm-hmm. The sea life is going to be impacted. You know, turtles are going to be washing up on shore. I mean, I don't mean to be an alarmist, but I really think that's where we're headed if we don't do something very, very soon. And the reason I know that is because I've traveled all over the world. I just got back from the West Coast of Africa over in August. There is so much plastic on the beach. You don't want to go to the beach. It's mm-hmm. disgusting. I mean, it's everywhere and they don't have waste collection. Eventually the volume of waste is going to be so overwhelming that it's going to consume us.
With the New Earth Project, do y'all partner with other packaging companies or brands to better educate them on how to move forward with shipping their products? What's the main, I guess, goal or mission with the New Earth Project?
Yeah, that actually is a big piece of it. So one of the things we wanted to do was feature really fun, exciting brands and showcase their commitment to sustainability. And like, so I don't want to give away too many of the episodes yet, but a lot of the episodes do follow surf brands and famous people in surfing who own surfing apparel companies and things like that and hard good companies, and evaluating like, this is the way we've done it. Like one of the episodes I love, we're looking at surfboard packaging in particular. So like, this is the way we've always packaged surfboards, and there's a ton of plastic and foam and bubble and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so we took that surfboard and brought it to our solution center in Charlotte, and my packaging engineers tore it all apart. We weighed all the packaging and then we optimized. So we said, okay, we can do this with a lot less packaging first. And then it was like, and we only want to package this surfboard with curbside recyclable, you know, fiber-based packaging, 100%. So that was the challenge. We documented the whole thing. And then once we were done, we shipped it back to the surfboard manufacturer, who everyone will know because they're very well known. And those guys were super jacked up. And we filmed this whole piece. And then the final part of the episode is that first surfboard packed like this going to the North Shore for a very well-known surfer to unwrap it and take it to his blue bin and then, you know, paddle out to catch a wave on the North Shore. So, you know, we're trying to find like fun, like storytelling around why people should do this. And one of my goals is to use the surfing community as these ambassadors of the ocean, but also as branding agents to brand sustainability and sustainable packaging as exciting, as fun, as cool. Because at the end of the day, we need young people fired up about this. Yeah. We need young people demanding that the brands that they shop with are sustainable. And just for the same reason that, you know, Nike hires Michael Jordan to sell tennis shoes, it's just sort of the same philosophy.
With the episodes, is each episode around one brand?
In some cases, it's around multiple brands. You know, sometimes, you know, in some cases, it's allied brands where we're walking through the whole process together. And then others, it's about a specific brand. But in every case, it is... it is talking about this transition. And long term, we're hoping our real long term goal is to inspire the entire outdoor industry, whether that be, you know, surfing or snowboarding and skiing, mountain biking, you know, kayaking, hunting, fishing. We really want to inspire that entire outdoor industry to really embrace sustainability and be the model for the greater supply chain for lots of companies in food, beverage, medical, but say the outdoor industry has, as an entire industry sector, has made this transition, and this is how it can be done. And to me, who better to lead sustainable packaging than the outdoor industry? Yeah. I mean, it's just sort of like, and the storytelling with the outdoor industry will be really exciting. And a New Earth Project is the platform to tell those stories to the public.
And it's really cool too, if you think about it. I mean, it's synergy is perfect with the outdoor community and helping figuring out sustainable packaging. What was it like bringing on some of these people like Kelly Slater and surfers like that magnitude into the fold?
It's been surreal, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I'm not really a starstruck kind of person, and I think I've held it together pretty well in front of the guys like Kelly and John and John Pazell and those folks. But
even Peter King.
Yeah, Peter King, and you know, Peter's become such a close friend of mine. And he's been amazing. I mean, Peter has an incredible reputation within that community. They all know and respect Peter, and you know, he's given me access to a lot of folks, and Peter's really passionate about this as well. I will say one of the things that has been incredibly encouraging is that community loves this. I mean, you know, how they've embraced this idea and given me access to their lives, because they believe in what we're trying to do has been epic. I mean, I did not anticipate that. I mean, I still, you know, have to pinch myself sometimes, like, how did I end up here? I'm actually flying to Hawaii tomorrow for like the fifth time this year to continue to film some of a New Earth Project's documentary. And every time I get on that airplane, I'm like, is this real? And so I just thank the universe, and you know, we keep plugging along. But yeah, I mean, the surfing community, I think one of the things too, a guy like Kelly Slater, guy's been traveling the globe for 40 years, mm-hmm. you know, and he has seen plastic proliferation in the oceans. I can argue you couldn't find an oceanographer, a scientist who has a greater perspective on this than Kelly Slater. I mean, who else has been to every part of the ocean everywhere around the world consistently for 40 years? I mean, you know, the guy's perspective matters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I talk to him, what he describes is really heartbreaking. And the surfing community, I think over there too, have been like, hey, we see the problem, but what can we do about it? And I'm hoping that Atlantic Packaging is what they can do about it. You know, partnering with me to bring awareness to this problem, and to inspire the supply chain to shift can be the most unlikely partnership imaginable that just might work.
Talk about the first time you met Peter King. And you told your wife, hey, I'm going out to Hawaii.
That's actually kind of a funny story. So it hasn't been that long ago. It hasn't even been a year.
Yes. That's crazy, by the way.
It's great. Trust me, it is crazy. I'm not exaggerating. It's nuts. I mean, like, yeah, I pinch myself all the time. But so I was, we had a mutual friend, Darren Doan, who's actually involved in a New Earth Project. He's actually our producer. And he was the one that originally introduced Peter and I. He had worked with Peter back when they both worked for Hurley. They both worked for Bob Hurley back in the 90s. And so they knew each other. And Peter had reached out to Darren about this idea, and he had connected us. And yeah, the first time that Peter and I met, we set up a Zoom call for the 26th of December. It was a day after Christmas. I'll never forget it. I was with my family in Park City, Utah, skiing and snowboarding for the week. And I was like, Lindsay, I got to take a call. I got the Zoom call with this guy named Peter King and on the North Shore. And she's like, okay. So then I ended up being on the Zoom call with Peter for like 3 hours. And afterwards, I'm like, we're going to Hawaii next week. And she's like, huh? I'm like, yeah, we're going to Hawaii next week. She's like, we are not going to Hawaii next week. What are you talking about? And so we actually didn't go next week, but we did go 3 weeks later. And it just happened that fast. I mean, once Peter and I got on the phone together, like the juices started flowing, and like his vision and my vision, like they weren't exactly the same, but they sort of collided in this like really neat synergy. And all of a sudden the light bulbs were just going off. I'm like, oh, wow, this is it. This is how we do it. This is how we, and it was also this like really kind of cool experience for me. I'm like, there is an opportunity for my like personal passion and surfing in the oceans to intersect with my professional life in the most, you know, beautiful way. And like, I was like, I'm at least going to pull this string a little bit, see what happens. And worst case scenario, I'll get to go surfing in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was the story, and it's been great. Peter's an amazing guy.
I mean, to think it wasn't even a year ago, you're talking Christmas of last year. Now here you are today. Is this something you had any idea you'd be doing as a kid? Did you have a passion towards sustainability or?
I mean, no, the short answer and the long answer is no. But I mean, I have always loved the outdoors. I mean, it has been in my blood. I mean, I grew up with a father who was an outdoor person. And so my dad, I mean, he took me offshore fishing since I could barely walk. You know, he introduced me to hunting when I was young. I mean, I was in Boy Scouts. I was an Eagle Scout. And, you know, then when I was in college, I did a semester out west with the National Outdoor Leadership School. So I spent a whole semester living outside and, you know, really got into rock climbing and kayaking. When I got out of college, all I wanted to do was work in the outdoor industry. So I moved to Park City and I got a job at a shop selling Telemark skis in the winter and mountain bikes in the summer. And, you know, it just always called to me. And, but I always sort of saw, especially once I got a little bit older and started working for Atlantic, I didn't really see that my passion for the outdoors and my work life really intersected all that much. I mean, I never even really thought about it. I was like, well, that works one thing and plays something else. And over the last couple of years, what really emerged is, wow, my passions for the outdoors seem all of a sudden very purposeful, you know, like, because I don't think you can do what we're doing now if you don't have that passion, you know, because I talk to a lot of customers and the thing that they tell me more than anything else, like, we're not sure we agree with everything you're saying, but you are passionate about it. And I think that, you know, I think that does show because I do care. I really do care. And now, you know, I've got twins that are 8 years old next month and, you know, I take them surfing and fishing and, you know, we're going skiing in the winter. And like, I want them to have access to the beautiful natural resources that I had access to. And I want to instill in them, you know, conservation and, you know, these things are sacred and they need to be protected. And so, you know, again, it feels very purposeful to me at this point in my life.
I mean, like you said, it really actually makes perfect sense that your love for the outdoors and health and wellness can combine to your work to provide really a better earth.
Yeah, let's hope so. Let's hope so. That's the goal.
Live Life in Motion podcast is brought to you by Engineered Sleep. Engineered Sleep is a mattress manufacturer, and they are based out of Greenville, South Carolina. They have been making mattresses for as long as I can remember, and their main goal is to make finding the quality mattress for you as easy as possible. They have a showroom in Greenville, but you can also visit them at their website, engineeredsleep.com. If you go to their website, use code LIVE10 and you will get 10% off. As you guys know, sleep is the number one thing you need to focus on for good health. And it all starts with your mattress. So stop putting it on the back burner. Go get yourself a mattress from Engineered Sleep and start living a better life. All right, I got a question about small businesses. My sister here in Greenville runs a women's boutique, and she does a ton of packaging. She does a ton of shipping to her customers. Can somebody like that on a smaller level reach out to you guys to get help with boxes or sustainable packaging?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're a privately held company. We have customers of all shapes and sizes. We certainly do primarily focus on large consumer products companies. And so, at a minimum, you know, for a smaller company, if it's not a great fit for us, we can point you in the right direction. But, you know, we don't have minimum orders either. So depending on what your sister's looking for, I mean, there's certainly ways for us to help help out a lot of local businesses. And quite honestly, like, I'm a big help the local, you know, guys anyway. I live in Charleston, where local business is a really big deal. I believe in local businesses. And so we work to support a lot of companies, you know, especially right here in the Carolinas where we grew up, you know, even if it's not, you know, a large consumer products company. But, and, you know, if, you know, for people like your sister that are in the clothing business and the garment industry, I mean, there is a lot that they can, I mean, there's a lot that they can do from a sustainability perspective, not only in packaging, but also in the garments that they source. There's some companies doing some remarkable things, with clothing and sustainability.
Do you have a resource where they could figure that out?
Sure. Yeah, I can get some resources to them. There's a lot of publications and things like that, that I can point them in the right direction. And then when it comes to the packaging side too, there's some really innovative products. One in particular, most people who ship clothing do ship the clothing in a single use poly bag, you know, mm-hmm. a suffocation warning, 1 mil or, you know, 0.008 mil, poly bag. There's a company that we partner with called Seaman Paper that has created a fiber-based bag for that. It's made of 100% paper, but it looks, it's almost clear. It's a very wow. high-end product called the Vela bag. And we've been promoting that to a lot of brands. So there's some cool, and everybody in packaging right now is innovating, especially the stuff that's direct to consumer. So there's new products coming out all the time that are really, really cool. Awesome. And also my LinkedIn page is a great place. I mean, I'm pushing, you know, pretty regular content on innovations in that arena.
All right. Switching gears. Top three surfing locations.
Oh, top three surfing locations. Well,
around the world.
By far, the best place that I've ever been surfing is in Indonesia and in the Mentawa Islands. Wow. So the Mentawas are an island chain off the coast of off the coast of Indonesia. And I went there for my 40th birthday and did a boat trip with about 16 of my close friends. It's the most epic travel on the planet. I mean, I don't think you can go any further from Charleston than the Mentawa Islands without leaving the planet. But just beautiful, epic surf like I've never seen in my life. A little closer to home, I love Nicaragua. You know, Nicaragua is a little less, you know, discovered than places like Costa Rica, and really great variety of waves down there. So I try to get down there from time to time. The place I've frequented the most is Costa Rica, though. My dad's got a little place down there on the Nicoya Peninsula in a little area called Santa Teresa.
Yeah.
A year doesn't go by where I don't go to Santa Teresa. We've got great friends down there. And so that's one of my favorite spots, too. But I like, you know, I like different places. I've really caught some really good waves, even in, you know, places like the Virgin Islands down the mm-hmm. Caribbean. I've surfed in the Dominican Republic a lot. They've got good waves there too. So, and then of course, Hawaii. I mean, I guess that's a lot more than three, but, there's a place in Hawaii called Rocky Point on the North Shore that I really enjoy too.
I took, my fiance for her 30th birthday in January to Santa Teresa.
Oh, nice.
We went for about a week, me and another buddy from Greenville. We took his wife and my fiance to see. It was amazing. We absolutely loved it. I'm not a big surfer, but the waves were too big, so I got a boogie board and did it that way. But another question, have you ever been held underwater?
Many times. Yeah, many times. I think, you know, the more you surf, you sort of learn how to handle that. But, you know, I know my limits, you know, so I'm not going to paddle out in something that's, you know, triple overhead where, you know, I feel like I'm going to get held under. But when we were in the Mentawas 3 years ago, I was surfing at a place called Rifles, one of the coolest, prettiest waves I've ever surfed on in my life. And I got held under, and I actually went down and kind of got hung up on the reef where the back of my board shorts actually got hung on the reef. And I was underwater, not just being held under by water. I was caught. But and it was pretty frightening. But what ended up happening is the backside of my board shorts actually ripped in half, and so I came up with no pants on. but at least I got a breath of air. So all my buddies got a big laugh. But yeah, I've had a couple of moments. That was probably the most acute where I was a little uncomfortable. But for whatever reason, and my wife doesn't think this is the greatest trait, I've just always been able to, you know, keep my nerve up when it came to big waves.
Mm-hmm. It can be scary. I mean, when I'm underwater, it's one of the most frightening things that can happen to me. With it sounds like if you were to do exactly what you wanted every day, you'd probably go surfing. But what else do you do to stay fit, stay healthy?
You know, health and wellness has been a big part of my journey. I really think that it all starts there. You know, for anyone that's trying to manifest anything in this world of value, I really think focusing on your own health and wellness is the only place to start. I really do. And I've been unhealthy in my life, and I've been healthy in my life. And I can tell you, it's a lot easier to do really fun, cool things and manifest creativity when you're healthy. My health and wellness journey actually kind of started, a little bit by accident, where when I first moved to Charleston about 15 years ago, I went to a gym because I was like, I need to join a gym. I was not in shape at all, but I was like, can I, you know, move to a new town? You know, where do we go to the grocery store? I guess I'll find a gym. And that gym happened to be attached to a yoga studio, and I'd never done yoga before, but I'd always been intrigued by it. And, so I started going to yoga classes, and it really resonated with me, like mm-hmm. just the whole thing. And back then, at least in Charleston, like there was not a lot of men doing yoga. I mean, I would routinely be one of the only men in the class. And you know, that was a little intimidating at times and uncomfortable, but yeah. The practice just really resonated with me. And so, that really began my journey. And through the yoga practice, I got just engaged with a community that was really committed to health and wellness. And so I met, you know, people that helped me with diet, and I met a holistic physician who's still a very close friend of mine who helped me with a lot of health optimization stuff. And that's been a big deal. At some point along the line, I wanted to diversify outside of yoga. I found some guys in a place in Charleston that did very mindful powerlifting. And so I started doing that, and I still do strength training now, like 2 days a week. And I love it. I really enjoy that. And then I've got another close friend in Charleston that's got a what she calls a sweat studio. It's a high intensity studio that I like to go to at least, you know, once a week to really get my heart rate up. But I have a little ADD, so I like a lot of variety. I'd probably surf every day if I could, but I swear, like, I love being in the rooms. I mean, I love being in the studio with other people. I love the community aspect of fitness. I think, you know, not that you're asking my advice, but for people that are really struggling for how to get started, to me, like, finding community fitness, group fitness was the answer. I mean, it's fun. And the other thing too is, if you go to a yoga class, you're not going to walk out in the middle of it. Other things. I mean, I have a sauna at home, and I do that a lot. I do cold therapy, you know, like, as busy a guy as I am, as much as I'm traveling and with young kids and everything, I find that, like, those health and wellness practices being a staple in my life mm-hmm. make everything else a lot more easeful.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I love health and wellness. I know if I'm operating at my highest potential at that moment, it's because I'm a healthy person.
For sure.
I mean, the New Earth Project, it's incredible. And of course, it's, you can see your excitement just coming through you, right? When does it come out? Where can people watch it? What's the deal?
Yeah. So, it's a little bit of a moving target. You got to remember, I'm not in the movie business. I'm learning as I go here. We hope that we'll have 8 episodes that will come out sometime, you know, hopefully like March, April timeframe, certainly no later than this spring. We've already got the first 3 basically done. We're still in the editing process, and it is really good. I mean, like, nice. Really good. I think people, even if you're not a surfer, it's really compelling stuff. But in the meantime, you know, one of the things that we've had a lot of fun with, and this has been intentional, is we are documenting the making of a New Earth Project. So, you know, if you follow a New Earth Project on Instagram, or if you follow me, Wes M. Carter, on Instagram, you know, every couple of days, at least every week, there'll be a little clip of something we're working on. Sometimes it's packaging related, but a lot of it's surfing related too. Mm-hmm. So you can follow along. And so there'll be a lot of content that comes out between now and then. But again, the final documentary, which I think will be about 8 episodes, should come out this spring.
Awesome, Wes. And I'll make sure to have all that in the show notes, so hopefully people can find you and reach out. But yeah, for sure. Man, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure, man. I've enjoyed talking to you, and yeah, congratulations with all you're doing, and yeah, we'll talk soon.
Yeah,
thank you.
Maybe we'll get together one day.
I'd love it.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, click subscribe on your listening platform for upcoming conversations.